Welcome to the Dialed In Podcast, a life and business podcast for those courageous enough to live life on their terms by being dialed in to who they are, what they want, and taking the daily inspired action steps to keep moving forward. I'm your host, Bethany Clemenson, your life transition coach and founder of Big Life Resources. Inside this podcast, we lean into teachings, discussion, and strategies based on the mindset, emotional management, and pure self-leadership needed to create your big life on your terms, your way. Thank you for being here. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Are you ready to get dialed in? Okay, let's get after it. Hey, Circlers, I'm here. It's hot seat day, but this isn't your standard hot seat because, well, it's my sister and she's also a certified coach. And so there might be some coaching that happens here, but there's going to be just, I think, more discussion than anything else and maybe some perspective shifts. So do you have a place that you want to start?
So you sent me the title of our talk today, and our title is expectations, and that's a huge topic. So I've been looking into expectations, and I've actually found some really, really cool things that have kind of shifted my mind a little bit in the last week or so since I've been researching expectations. So we all have them. And I had so many questions going into this. I actually wrote my ethics professor, and it was just kind of like a brain scramble writing, but he's just a cool guy. And what I wrote to him was expectations, big topic, time is precious. Releasing expectations is more powerful than time. Something destroys the life that you had planned to live, practiced for, sacrificed for, a dream once had since childhood. This ability to see beyond the curve, this hope and drive, these expectations can develop into our biggest weakness because we can often arrive at the future to discover that it just isn't there. The future that we dream just isn't there. So I'm going to stop right there because that sounds really negative a little bit and overwhelming. But whenever you think about expectations as a whole and just take yourself back to like your five-year-old self, I'm sure everyone had like something that they really, really, really loved to do, or they, you know, that they knew they were going to be, you know, this whenever they grew up. And like your expectations for yourself are set so young. And of course they change and such, but as you grow, you start having expectations of other people. I expect to be treated how other people, or I expect to treat people how I want to be treated, right? Well, it doesn't always work like that. Okay, stop. Sorry. Yes, so you go.
No, this is good. No, I'm just thinking. I'm like, can you think of a time where your expectation, what your picture was in your head and what happened was exactly the picture in your head?
No.
Since according to this, and I would agree that it's so much not that, has there ever been a time that it is that? It is the picture in your head?
I don't think anything turns out to be the picture in our head.
Okay. All right. So knowing that,
we're muffled. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can you hear me okay?
On my end, I'm hearing an echo on your end. So I don't know why.
That's weird. Okay. Sorry.
I can hear you loud and clear.
That's so weird. Okay. I'm going to hone in with my ears and make sure I understand what you're saying.
Okay. So when things don't work out like the picture in our head, that's what screws us up most, right? We have this picture, and instead of enjoying the journey on the way to the picture, we're only focused on the picture. And then when we get there and it's not exactly the picture, then we writhe in disappointment. And I think that's a struggle of just being human, the human experience. But when you can have an idea in your head of maybe how it'll look and not be so tied to it just being that, I think then you can enjoy your journey and harvest the good on your way there. And sometimes you just take different paths. I mean, so when I look back to my younger self, I pretended I was a rock star. Like I would sing and hold up like markers as microphones. And I even took voice lessons as a teenager. And then they told me that if I was going to sing, I'd have to be a country singer because of my enunciation. And then I quit voice lessons because, you know, that wasn't rock star status. And but looking back, I didn't want to be a rock star. I wanted to be a voice for something. And so I think our wishes and desires can change. And is this exactly the picture in my head of the voice, how my voice was going to turn out? Like live from my shoffis, living in a tiny cabin, like, I don't know. No. So it's so interesting that you phrased it like this, because I had a nightmare Sunday night that Tom died. And in my nightmare, this may sound crazy, but it was a dream. Okay. So it can be crazy. I was sitting across the table from myself, talking to myself. And it was almost like the angel devil type thing. And I'm sitting there and I was saying to myself, you just couldn't figure your shit out, could you? You couldn't pull it together. Now your husband's dead and you have teenagers to put through college. And what are you going to do? You know, why can't you get it right? What is wrong with you? Like I woke up crying, not only because Tom was dead, but because of that whole discussion and all the fear around that and the lack. And like, I'm like, where is this coming from? And I think part of it is because we just had our taxes done. And I had to calculate all the revenue from my business last year. And it wasn't where I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And because I'm disappointed in myself about that, it's trickling over now into my dreams. And then the second piece of it was, it's been about 2 years ago now that, you know, Tom was so sick and he almost died. And this is about the time that he got out of the hospital after being in there for a month. So, all those things connect. And so the old me would have like wallowed in it and wrapped up in it and rubbed down in it and cried and felt sorry for myself and been the victim of it. And the new me was like, okay, that's an interesting story. Yeah, it would suck if Tom died, but you know what? I'm going to sit down and make a list of just the things that have happened in my business and in my life that I'm really proud of over the last 3 months. You know, like, yes. Because it's just all a story. I mean, it's all a story. Like, I don't
know. It is. Yeah. So you can use it for motivation to pull yourself out of those thoughts, or you can just, wallow in it.
See, I don't know if anybody has the life exactly that they dreamed of, but there are pieces. I mean, okay, when you were growing up, what did you want? Like, what did you picture your life being?
I never had like dreams or aspirations of a career necessarily. I wanted to fall in love and get married and have kids. And I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and raise my kids and just feed into them. Like, I wanted them to know that they were special and give them all the attention they wanted and just be able to have that relationship with my children and my spouse. And that was like my big life goal up until a few years ago. I know that sounds crazy, but
No, it doesn't.
in my head, that was it. That was the
That's
epitome
okay.
of success.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
So, like, I feel like there's a bit of comparison happening or judgment, self-judgment when you say that, but there's nothing wrong with that. Like, so I have reverse judgment of, like, for me, when you I say that, because then I feel, here's the our mind screwing, sister. When you say that, I didn't have any aspirations. I didn't really like kids. I wasn't sure I wanted kids. The reason we had kids is because people wouldn't stop effing asking us about when we were having kids. Like, and I wouldn't trade it, okay? But that wasn't an aspiration of mine. And when you say that, my sneaky, like, want to prove I'm not enough mind goes to, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you want those things? Why couldn't it just, why couldn't that, why didn't you feel that way? Isn't that interesting? So
I
there's
totally
nothing.
get it. I totally get it. So now that I've got the kids and I've got the husband, now my mind is sneaky because I'm like, well, I don't have the success. I don't have a college diploma.
Okay.
So at 39, I'm going back to college. You know what I mean? Because I decided that my expectations for myself were higher than just having a family, right?
And that's
So I
okay.
think over time, I think our expectations just change depending on our situations, right?
And I think it's okay. And
Yeah.
being okay with that and not judging for where you're at, but looking, instead of looking at, oh, I'm here and I have so far to go to get here. How about take a glance back? I mean, just go back 6 weeks and look at the progress and look at the things you've accomplished. Like, we forget that part. If you are in a space in your life and you're having new aspirations and new ideas, it's not a sign that you're not where you should be. It's a sign that you're doing the damn thing, that you're growing, that you're expanding like you should be, that you're dreaming, that you're leaning into this amazing journey, because
Yeah.
we're made to expand. We're made to be creative, and we're made to always have dreams. People die when they lose their dreams and their purpose. I've watched it happen over and over. You live for retirement so you can have this life of leisure, because we were taught that a life of leisure is a sensational way to live your last years. And it's, but by the way, that was all a marketing campaign. That was like brainwashing from our government, because they were afraid the workforce wasn't going to be big enough to sustain everybody. So they got together with the life insurance companies and the golf courses and sensationalized leisure. So we would buy in to this idea that retirement was the goal. But what happens? I mean, you watch it when people lose the ability to work, maybe because of an injury, they go into addiction, they become depressed, they become bitter, they commit suicide because they
Concentrate
don't
on all their
have,
health issues. There's a slew of traps.
like, so the fact that now your kids are older, your job obviously isn't done, but your kids, like, they can make themselves a bowl of cereal, and they can keep themselves alive, so to speak. Like, you don't have to be there every moment, and now you're like expanding and like, what do I want? And there's nothing wrong with that. I keep pulling this marker because we have these goals, right? And we get them, and then guess what? Like, we get new goals, and then we travel that journey, and then we get that, and there'll be something else when you're done with school. And there's nothing wrong with that. You didn't miss out. You're not behind. You've got to be able to be in a space where you're trusting that you're exactly where you should be, instead of shooting on yourself for where the picture in your head says. Like, it's almost like we look for reasons to make ourselves feel like crap, because we're just so used to it that it's a go-to. We're used to being disappointed. And so it's a go-to for us to live in disappointment and lack and frustration and sadness and all the thoughts you know, that are linked to that. So I'm going to stop.
Almost like a comfortable place. It's more comfortable there sometimes than what it is to actually try to grow or reach out or, you know.
Because even though we're like waiting in shit, it's familiar. That smell's familiar. The feeling is familiar. We feel safe there, even though it sucks. Like, and so we want to go back, you know, because our mind wants to keep us safe and the same.
Yeah.
And so anytime you want to branch out, who do you think you are? Well, you should have done this already. If you would have had higher aspirations when you were younger, you wouldn't be wanting to do this now. And on and on and on and on and on to take you to an immediate place of disappointment.
Yeah. You nailed it. Expectations and disappointment. But I just think there's a whole reverse side to it also. Okay. There's a crap ton of like negative junk, I think, that go along with it. But there are so many things that can shift whenever you really look deep down into your expectations and your disappointments. You know?
Absolutely. Do you want to expand on that?
I just think I'm not really sure where to go from there. You always say the words, there's a devil at every level. And for me, a lot of the time, it's expectations from myself, from other people, from just life in general, right? And I think as soon as you get to that place where you feel like you've arrived, then it's like, oh, which is great because it's a sign of growth. It's a sign of growing. It's a sign of being a better person and feeding into yourself and living, you know, your true potential, which is essentially what we all want to do. We all want to fill a life that is meaningful and feed into others. And so it's just a very interesting way to look at things, I think, sometimes.
I think if you're getting somewhere and you're there and you're like, duh, that you were making that thing mean that it would bring you happiness, I think then you're stuck in conditional happiness, or some people call it destination addiction, where you have this belief like, okay, I'm just going to keep doing all my shitty habits, but I'm going to work on this one thing. Because when I get here, when I light this candle, then I'll be happy. And then you light the candle and you're like, shit, it just smells like lemon and vanilla. Now what?
What's the next move? Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head.
So it's choosing happy along the way. Okay. So back to my dream.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Here, let me talk about me. But this all ties in. This all ties in. So the expectation in my dream that I was putting on myself is that I should be somewhere else other than I am. And so then I don't have trust in my journey. And I can't be somewhere else other than where I am because, I mean, look at all the stuff that I've gone through. Look at all the stuff that you have gone through to get you here. And it's not fair to be wishing that you're somewhere else. You're not ready for that somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't have been prepared for the opportunities and the things that have come my way right now 5 years ago because I wasn't in that space yet. And so, and in many parts, we're living the previous expectations of our younger self right now. So like, you know, I mean, when I look around, like you have all the expectation boxes, right? Like,
right.
You've like, is he loading the wood stove?
I'm sorry. I'm doing a live, babe.
It's okay. That's fine. So it doesn't matter. This is real life. Is it cold there?
I'm sorry.
Is it cold?
Yeah, it's chilly.
Yeah, it's cold here too. It's like 28. But so in many ways, you're living out your dreams of your younger self.
Right.
It just isn't the picture. It's just not perfect. But what is?
Right. Right.
So when will you breathe? When will you reach the point that you decide that you're okay and you're loving the journey? Or are you just, and I'm not saying you like attacking you. I'm just saying in general, anybody that's watching this, if you're in the space where you're always in frustration and you're, or you spend the majority of your time in frustration and feeling discontent and feeling like shitty about where your life is, and but then you're missing all the goodness that's there. So either you do something to change it, or you stay in that stuck place and have a shit life because all you're focused on are the disappointing things about your life, or you decide to find the good in where you're at. So like I said, I made a list. I made a list of the things I accomplished. And then I saw a TikTok, and it was a guy sitting in his car, and he just started talking about things that made him happy. Like when a woman walks by and she's walking into a meeting and she leans down and checks her view in the window of someone else's car, like that always makes him smile. Or when he watches his mom put away dishes, or lazy big snowflakes coming down. Like he was all over the board, just like randomly talking about things that he loves. When he loves it when a woman tucks her hair behind her ear. It just is something that he likes and he thinks it's cool. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how many things can I think of like that? Like, sitting in, tell me some things for you that you love, like that are just in your everyday life.
I love our fireplace. I love just sitting there drinking my Milo's tea and just silent and just in my own head, just watching the fire. I love watching my kids when they sleep. I know that's weird, but sometimes I'll just sneak in and I'll curl up with them. I love just listening to the different things that go on in the house. Sometimes it's just easier just to sit back and listen and just try to enjoy the moment. And, you know, I think that that's really what it does come down to, is just trying to embrace where you're at and get the most joy that you can get out of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like the first sip of coffee in the morning, or like a friend of mine, Kelly, she makes these candles and I love her dearly. And she lives in Indiana, and this one's called Shine. And it says, "The world needs your light." Like, I held on to this and didn't open it for over a month. Like, it was a reward. And I know it seems small, but you ask many people to rattle off things like you just did, and that it's a practice to see those things. Most people can't do that.
Yeah.
And they're living in such disappointment that they're missing the joy that's all around them. I love it when I put my mascara on and my eyelashes look long, but they're not like, you know, like this, like clumped together, like, you know,
that's
how they're
spiders.
Yeah. You know, like they separate nicely, and I have a favorite mascara, and every morning when I like put it on, I smile. And I know that's silly, but it's small things like my phone case. I love my phone case. And
yes,
and you know, I used to not pay attention to how things around me, how I felt about things. And I was maybe surrounding myself with things and people and thoughts, you know, that didn't serve me. And I think, you know, when we realize that we have power in that every moment, that's a game changer.
Yeah, I concur.
But it's not that there's not shit.
No, I mean, that's only shit.
There's all kinds of shit. I mean, let's, like, we're not Pollyanna-ing this. Uh-huh. You know, there's a lot of shit in life that's hard. But I don't know if John Maxwell talked about this when you were with me, but at one of the Maxwell events, he talked about how he was on stage and he got up. He had just done speaking to a crowd and he got off stage and this man, like, he's like walking towards him with purpose. You know, he's like, he knew he was coming towards him. And he asked for a minute of his time. And of course, John said yes. And he's like, you know, this is great. You're talking about leadership and self-leadership and confidence and all this stuff. But, you know, life must just be easier for you. Like, you obviously don't have any issues, you know. And John's like, no, that's not the case. Like, I just had a heart attack 4 months ago. I have to completely change my diet. I'm not taking care of myself. My wife had a cancer scare, you know, like, and he went on and said several different examples. And he's like, my life's not easier than yours. I just choose what I focus on.
That's the key. That's the home run right there. Yeah. That's it. That's how you deal with expectations.
And it's impossible not to have expectations because we do. But if you're setting yourself up for disappointment so you can be the victim, that's when you've got to check yourself. So, like, you know, you expect your spouse to come home and act a certain way. You don't verbalize that. You just have all these lofty expectations and he comes home and does something different. And so then you're disappointed and mad and resentful, but you didn't even have a conversation about it.
Right, right.
Or you want somebody else to live the priorities that are your priorities, but they're not their priorities. And no matter how often you ask them to basically live your priorities, they're not going to. Right. And so then you're in constant disappointment with that, whether it's a friendship or a spouse or a child, expecting your kids to always listen. I tell you every day to clean your whatever. You clean your room, pick up your clothes, put away the laundry. Why can't you do it? Okay, sister, let's think back to when we were kids.
Yes.
Did we do it? I remember, I distinctly remember you hanging on to my leg, me dragging you around the house. I'm crying, doing all the chores, and you wouldn't do a thing. Not every day, but I remember.
And I remember that.
And so we didn't listen. We turned out okay. Like, kids are not always going to listen. You know, we're preparing them to basically parent themselves.
Right.
Like, you know, we're preparing them. And I'll tell my kids all the time, okay, this is how we're going to practice adulting today. Okay. I'm going to give you these three expectations. And it's important that you try to prioritize and make it happen. We'll see how we do. Get out of bed before one. Check.
Like, use your mom eyes today whenever you're looking for something.
Right. Put on, use your mom eyes. Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
But then, I mean, I wasn't perfect as a kid. Like, and sometimes we hold people to, if we're really hard on ourselves and self-critical of ourselves, and we also have a tendency to hold other people to impossible standards and expectations, and it's not their deal, it's ours.
Yeah.
Now, we also get to determine whether people are the right fit for us too. Sometimes if they just aren't in alignment with who we are, it's okay to walk away from that too. Instead of like always being disappointed that they don't support you or show up for you, or they don't, you know, whatever, they aren't there for you. Okay, maybe it's just time to distance yourself and then find people who do celebrate you. Yeah. You know, like,
that's one thing. That's one thing that's really hit the nail on the head whenever it comes to really digging into who I want to, let's talk about me now, who I want to become, is that my friend groups have shifted. And that's kind of like a tricky thing. you want to surround yourself with people that have the same, you know, dreams or goals or thoughts.
Yeah.
So, it's okay to walk away.
It is okay. It's okay to have distance and do what you need to do for yourself. And, you know, as you grow, the conversations that once felt comfortable and good are going to feel like crap. So, can we talk about when we did the phone call with mom and dad? Is that okay? Are you okay? I mean, it's not about throwing them under the bus. I want to talk about like the awareness.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So I did a call. So my parents, so it's just the four of us, like my parents and then my sister and I in our little nuclear family. And I did a video call with both my parents. So they're in separate rooms of their house. I don't know. They're both on their phones. And then it's my sister and I, and we were talking, and in our family, the norm has been to talk about the person that's not in the room. Like that's just been and I think that's a pretty common family function, especially if you're dysfunctional.
And let me stop you there, because I don't even think that's just a family thing.
Oh, I
think that's a friend thing. I think that's like a,
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
people are tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I would agree with that. Nice point there, because yeah, I would agree. I'm just thinking about my friend groups right now. I don't believe that happens in my friend groups now for the first time. Like it just doesn't, I don't have that. I may have one older friend group where that may happen, but the intention is not. The intention is to help and not to hurt.
Yeah.
And not that with our family, the intention was to hurt, but it was almost complaining or shrouded in, oh, I'm really worried about them. And sometimes the worries were founded and sometimes they weren't. So our family norm was to talk about people when they left the room. And like sister said, sometimes in friend groups, it's like that too. And if it isn't like that in your friend group, you may need to take a look at that. So sister and I have had multiple conversations about how we want to break that cycle. And so we were on this group call on Messenger with my parents. And it was fine and everything was fine. And my mom spent like 25 minutes showing us every quilt block she's made in the last year and a half or 2 years. And it was fine. And then all of a sudden the conversation shifted to a family member that wasn't in the room. And I got really uncomfortable really fast. And I didn't say anything. I was just feeling it. And then
you didn't have to say anything.
but then you were like, oh, no, I don't even know what you said.
Yeah, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, right.
Sister's uncomfortable. Let's stop.
Yeah, right. I was. And you totally picked up on it. And then sister said, yeah, we've got to stop. It's uncomfortable. And then it prompted a whole different conversation about, you know, I don't want to be that family anymore. And this wasn't the first time we've had that conversation. It was just the first time it kind of snuck up on us. But it was just such a familiar pattern. So what are your familiar patterns that make you feel like crap? Like because of the work that we've done, sister, don't you think like you just notice when you start to feel like crap more than before? Like you notice when you're off, you notice when things like take a turn and you go down the stairs or it just doesn't feel good anymore.
It's like a total shift on my insides whenever that happens.
Yeah.
Like right now we're doing this live and my husband had just went and gotten our grocery pickup and he's carrying all the groceries in by himself right now. And I'm sitting here and I'm trying to stay focused here, but my mind is like, oh my, like I should be in there helping him. Is he going to be upset that I'm not helping him carry in groceries? Well, if he carries them all in, then I can put them all away. And then that makes it okay. Like, it's like 15 different like things going on all the time. It's funny.
Do you know what his expectation is, or do you just think that he expects that from you because that's what you expect from him? And then when he doesn't follow through, you're like, I'm not saying he doesn't follow through, but if he doesn't follow through, then you're like, well, at least he could do is come in and put him away. At least he could do if he's not going to help. Like, is it your own judgment talking, or did you have a conversation that you know his expectation is if he comes home with groceries that you're there to help?
No, there was never any conversation. It's always been like a family thing.
Okay.
Like it's so, like it just has. Like if I come home with groceries, he helps. And if I and right. he comes home with groceries, I help. You know, just yeah.
I get it. We'll tell ourselves stories about what people are thinking without even knowing what they're thinking. So it'd be really interesting if he's in a place if when he's not busy or open to having a discussion about it, that you would be like, hey, here's the story I was telling myself. Like, here's what was happening in there. And
I do that with my kids a lot.
Yeah.
Like, wait, so are you telling me da 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 da? Or am I just like off?
Yeah. But then you may find that he wasn't thinking anything. Or like you.
Or maybe he was. And if so, then okay.
But then, right. So then in the future, how do you navigate that? So then you put on the counter, hey, I have a call at 11 I committed to, you know, 3 weeks ago. I'll be on this call if you come home or whatever. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, what do you do to lay out that so there's not disappointment? Because what can happen then is it leads to resentment. And then, or on your end, if you don't talk about it, then you may be defensive because you feel that he's resentful because maybe that's how you would feel in that situation. And it's just a big mind screw when really none of that may or may not be happening. You don't know. All you know is the facts that you're in here with me and he's unloading the groceries. That's all you know.
Yeah. Our minds are so tricky.
I know. And it could be like, here I am, a disappointment again. There I am, a disappointment again. I'm disappointing again. Like, that's definitely an underpinning of my not enoughness is being a disappointment. I mean, you heard it all over in my dream, and that was a dream, but it's all connected.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it's hard to reel in your thoughts like that sometimes.
That's why having conversations about it is good.
Open communication, I think, is a big deal. Yeah, like absolutely. What you were saying.
Yep. So
if you're comfortable enough to have like an open conversation and open communication about anything you have expectations about, I think that's probably the way to go about it.
Well, in Brené Brown's books, you know, she talks about when she talks to her husband, she'll say, the story I'm telling myself is, right? I mean, that's where I got that from.
Yes.
You got it from too, right? The story I'm telling, you know, what's the story you're telling yourself? And sometimes it can be really hard to even know what the story is that you're telling yourself because it happens so fast and you're so used to hearing it that you don't catch it.
Yeah.
And that's why noticing when you're feeling cringy or like, you're sick to your stomach or where do you feel it in your body when you like, so you're sitting here and he's unloading the groceries. Like, where did you notice it in your body?
Like right here, automatically.
Yeah.
I was like, just like
uneasy. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Normal. You're not alone.
Yeah. It's probably not even a deal. But see,
it's so crazy.
It is. It's crazy how we trick ourselves. I think focusing on, I'm not crying, by the way, I just have like a allergy in my eye. I think it's just super important to be mindful of where you're at. And that's something, since I started looking into expectations this last week, I've been trying to be really mindful of where I am, where my head is, where my thoughts are coming from, and just taking it down to the very basic, most basic level. So I think that's the trick. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I was just looking at the rest of your conversation with the... So yeah. Can we read the rest of it as we close?
You'll have to read it because I left my computer in the other room.
All right. So all the planning, the sacrifice, the hope, it screws with our expectations. So we have to adapt and adjust to figure out how to love our lives where we are. That's the rub, right? Then I think about how choices and expectations go hand in hand. Or do they? Do choices change, take away from, or add to expectations? You could totally write a book about this. Okay. If I would have done XYZ, then I would have had my expectations met. Or XYZ doesn't play a role in expectations. Does that make sense? My brother-in-law just bought a new house with his wife. I don't think they deserve a home filled with asbestos because of the choice they made to buy the home, but it's filled with asbestos. My sister can't have her own children naturally because of a childhood disease. And just as I don't think someone earns cancer or any other horrible thing, how does that align with your thoughts when it comes to expectations and choices and the effect of both of them separately? So then here was his answer. Is it okay if I read that?
Yeah, I don't think that he would mind. Yeah.
So philosophy, this is, if you missed the beginning of this, we were coming in partway through or whatever, this was, Amanda had a conversation with her.
My ethics professor. Yeah.
Professor at college. So his response was, philosophers are usually the right place to go for deep thinking. Ha ha. I'm happy you decided to reach out. I'm not sure if I fully understand all the nuances of what you're thinking through, but I think I get the gist. A number of philosophical schools have wrestled with something like the problem you're talking about. We talked about the Stoics in class already, but Buddhism and Taoism have similar questions about the link between expectation and desire and pain, disappointment. I talk a fair bit about this topic in my non-Western philosophy class. Is it healthy to take away all expectations? If we take away expectation, does that mean we sort of give up on life, just doing whatever aimlessly? I found your line about seeing beyond the curve very poetic and well said. I agree that in some ways, our understanding, our ability to project our hopes and fears into the future is a great strength of humanity. At least we probably wouldn't have accomplished what we have without it. It allows us to be intentional about our growth and our changes in a way that most other animals can't be. We get to decide, in part, who we want to be. In a lot of ways, that's a marvelous thing. But of course, for many of the reasons you pointed out, it can be very scary too. We can get caught up in comparing our present to our idealized future and feeling anxious or disappointed at the gap between the two. Sometimes people interpret the schools I mentioned above as advocating for a complete lack of expectation, that if we can learn to give up our expectations, we would be happier or at least less sad. There are some senses in which I understand that point, but I think we have to be very careful about how we talk about that. The flip side of expectation is motivation, a purpose to our actions, a purpose to our lives, a reason for doing the things we're doing. So if expectations get out of balance, it makes sense that we want to reel them in. Whether it would be healthy to eliminate them completely or not is a complex issue. This is so good.
He's like on it, right?
No. Okay. For me, the takeaway that I usually end up striving for is sort of the journey is more important than the destination mindset. Yes! I think that at the core of most of these teachings, basically, this is the to love our lives where we are, the point that you made. To use the example of a writer, but you could apply this to just about anything, if you are focused on the idea of writing a whole book, dreaming about how great it will be and so on, it's easy to get frustrated. But if you just focus on enjoying the actual process of doing the work, eventually the book will get written along the way. That's easier said than done, of course, and it can be difficult to enjoy the work during some of the hardest, most stressful parts of life. So it's not something that we can reasonably maintain for 100% of the time. But I think developing habits of living that are likely to be helpful in the long run. Does that make any sense? Not sure if that helps with any of your thoughts. Definitely send me the podcast. That's a cool thing you're doing, and I'm interested to hear how it turns out.
Isn't he such a cool guy? Like,
it's cool.
No,
it is cool. So amazing. You know, and that's so interesting. It's like full circle because I think it all comes down to this. The goal is, at least for me, feeling good enough of the time that you notice when you don't. Period. Like, push aside expectation, disappointment, suffering, things going to shit, hell in a handbasket. The goal is feeling good, enjoying it along the way. So, you know, it's April 31st and it's freaking snowing here in Wisconsin. And I can either be really pissed off about it, or I can enjoy watching the five squirrels that are outside my office digging for the corn that we put out there beneath the snow. And know that it's not going to last and that spring will be here soon. Like, I get to reframe everything, you know, moment to moment. We have all this power.
I think we forget a lot of the time that we do have so much power with our own mind and our own thoughts, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's really easy to forget and to fall into that trap. So it's a nice reminder.
This has definitely not been a hot seat coaching, but definitely been an amazing conversation. I'll publish this on our Circle podcast. And I think if it's okay with your permission, I'd also like to make this a podcast episode on my Dialed In podcast. Would you be cool with that? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I love our conversations. I love talking with you.
I do too. It's really good. And I love that you're such a deep thinker that you make me think better, you know, that you just bring a whole different perspective to things that challenge me, that help me see some of my like thinking that I can improve on. And I know that whoever's listening to this is getting that benefit as well. So thanks for your transparency and your vulnerability. And I love you, sister.
Well, I feel the same about you. I love you tons. Pretty lucky.
Yeah. One thing to be grateful for, and we'll close with that.
One thing to be grateful for for me right now is that our parents actually have my kids. And it's giving me a couple of days just to kind of realign and set goals and just really kind of list things out. And that's a nice feeling. What's one of yours?
That I'm packing for Florida. And sometimes because it's not the picture in my head of exactly like the house on the beach, I want to make myself be disappointed about it. But the truth is, I have a place in Florida and I get to go there and spend a month while all the mud and the rain here happens. And then I can come back and enjoy the summer. And that once was a dream of mine that I didn't really know that it was possible. So seeing that, you know, for what it is. And I think it's amazing that the little girl, Amanda, who dreamed of having kids and having a close relationship and impacting them and being safe and there for them, I see you living that out every day. I've watched you be there and sacrifice and show up and be a constant and love them even when it's hard and they're not always lovable, because we're not lovable all the time. You support them and you've taught them how to be aware kids, and like, they're going to be amazing adults too. So
you've got me all cheesy over here. I'm like,
it's just cool. And I just, when you're in the thick of it though, you don't always see, you can't always see the big picture because you're in the middle of it. You know, it's like, you can't see the forest for all the trees, right? Like you're in the forest and you're in the thick of it, but like, I'm away from it. And I see how good of a mom you are. And it's amazing. And you're fulfilling that dream. And you're also showing your kids that they can have multiple dreams and there's no age limit. And I think that is incredible.
Oh, thanks, sis.
All right. That's awesome. We'll talk soon. Thanks, everyone, for being here. See ya. Hey, thanks for listening today. I appreciate you being here and spending time on the Dialed In podcast. This discussion with my sister was so good. I hope that you had some things pop up for you, some new awarenesses, and maybe just a different perspective in thinking about the expectations that you have that set yourself up for disappointment. You deserve a life of peace and ease where you get to see the joy around you, choose that every day, and live out the dreams in your heart. So thanks for being here. Until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.